Welcome to Wild and Awake, an online retreat where you deepen your consciousness, arouse your courage, and choose with wisdom. We are exploring the question, how do I live my best life right now? I am your host, Kari Vantine.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Wild and Awake. Today we have with us Neura Rochelle. Neura, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Kari.
I'm delighted to have you with us today. Neura is an intuitive astrologer who draws from many ways of knowing and relating with the celestial cycles. Passionate about practicing practical magic, she integrates energy healing, yoga, and intuitive skill building into her work with clients. Relational resilience, sovereignty, and everyday soul realization is at the core of Neura's offerings, and her focus on embodiment, simplicity, and daily ritual grounds cosmic wisdom in clarity of action. I love that last line. Daily ritual grounds cosmic wisdom in clarity of action.
Yeah, we've got to make it daily. That's how we integrate it.
We've got to make it daily. Yes, that's how we create the container. Neura, I am really thrilled to have you with us today for many reasons, but one of them being that we are right here in the equinox energy. And when we're working with equinox energy and this sort of vibration that I think it kind of holds 3 days on either side, maybe longer, but we're right in that orb and it's powerful. I'd love for us to just set the stage for this conversation today around what's important about the equinox. Why would this matter to people, and how, you know, what we're going to be talking about today actually really ties into being grounded in this energy. What is it about equinox?
Yeah, gladly. So there is a whole school of thought that the equinox is actually the start of the new year. So I very much like to play in that space and see, okay, what is being restarted or initiated in my life at this time. There's a lot of energy around new beginnings, pioneering, really reconnecting with our instincts, our joy of life, and what's really coming to us almost being downloaded direct from source. It's this creative spark that's just, it's so free. This is a time of connecting with freedom and who we really are and what are our new creative beginnings. So these are really special demarcation points, any equinox, because it's like we're coming into balance with ourselves. Equal day, equal night, but a new beginning, and really inviting in, especially in the Northern Hemisphere, inviting in increasing more light and connecting with even more of our desire to live and create. So these are really powerful times, especially if we think of how the year is divided. So we've got our four high holy days of the spring equinox and the autumnal equinox and then the solstices. And these are these demarcation points of, I almost view them as a new version of self wants to come through at each of these points. So essentially, you know, we're being reborn right now.
Ah, I love that. And I can feel that. I mean, that happens in the spring energy. And especially in the spring energy, if you're based in a climate that has gone from being cold to starting to percolate into warmth, right? I live in Hawaii, so for me, it's kind of beautiful all the time, but I do notice that the plant life shifts and the light actually changes. It changes subtly, but in a way that is really palpable. You're talking about this four times of year when it's like we can have identity shifts, right? And this really interests me. This is part of where I'd love to play this territory today, is that we're talking about ourselves as human beings, these incredible beings with what feels in many ways like a set identity and set likes and dislikes and the way that we're, you know, operating in the world. And yet what I hear you saying is that that's not as set as it seems like it is. Can you speak into that a little bit?
Absolutely. Yeah. And we are so fluid. And I love to use astrology as this basis of understanding ourselves, but even with the archetypes that we get to know, these different parts of our chart that we maybe have an identification with, like, oh, this is my sun sign, and this is, you know, my purpose, or this is my Venus, this is like how I express and magnetize, or this is my moon, this is how I feel. But that will have such a different resonance depending on where we are in our overall life cycle. And there's always two things. I talk about this a lot. There's us and who we are, and then there's how we're relating with what is. And there's always that cross connection, that synthesis. So we become different as we go through time and different, you know, time and space and connect with the different energies. So we are always evolving. And even if we think about the spiral of evolution or the circle of the year, we come back to these same points. And so we're reconnecting with something that's really similar, but it's like the spiral up or the spiral in a different dimension. Like we're connecting with this from such a different place. And I really view it like we're recreating ourselves moment by moment by what we're choosing, by what we're thinking, by how we're eating and by who we're connecting with. I think we get to be a different version of ourselves depending on our choices and what we choose to connect with.
Interesting. That brings up something that's always been a curiosity for me. And I would say it's taken me quite a while to open and really lean into astrology, in large part because my astrological chart never seemed quite right. And when people would look at it, they'd be a little like, oh no, it was a little dramatic. I have a lot in the fire. And so it really wasn't until getting a really thorough reading that I recognized the many potential levels of what is happening in a chart. And often people, I believe, you know, the mainstream probably knows their moon sign and their sun sign, maybe just their sun sign, who knows, right? And base a lot on that. Can you say a little bit about the just briefly, because some people here are going to know a lot about astrology, and some people are, you know, for them, it might be something they're looking at, trying to understand how it has context for them. Why would someone like myself have a chart that is like, it has all these extremes in it? And so the reading is not as simple, and it's important to go deeper. And I'm not trying to make this about myself, but I'm sure there's others out there who are like, my sign doesn't really fit with me.
Absolutely. I think that's a great question. I've heard it so often, and I feel like that's usually what's going on with a lot of the readings that I'm doing. It's like uncovering the nuance. Really, we are not defined by the archetypes, like we are the ones informing them. So I really view it as that's the energy that we've been given to play with, and then we get to take it somewhere. And it becomes really interesting because there are definitely sort of these overlays, these archetypal overlays. Like we could talk about Aries and the warrior, the warrioress, the pioneer. Like we can understand in the realm of archetype, but what type of pioneer you are, or what type of warrior you are, you know, you might be a fiery warrior, you might be very passionate, or it might express very internally, like they're not going to look the same on the outside, they're not even going to feel the same. One can be really soft, one can be really explosive. So I think it's how we're using it. And that's usually where the nuance gets a little bit lost, if we're just kind of coming at it from this broad overview.
Right, like the Cliff Note version.
Yeah.
Today you're going to have a great day, or watch out for speaking too much, or whatever the daily horoscopes say.
Right.
Thank you. And I'm also aware that there are a lot of other pieces that are affecting in our charts, and it can be our moon sign, or it can be what's happening in the time of the year. And we're in a time of year right now with where Venus is, and she's going to be shifting a little later on in the summer, but can you speak about where we are in terms of that particular influence?
Absolutely. I love Venus. So Venus right now, she's in her Capricorn cycle. So it's a 19-month cycle with Capricorn as the overtone or the overlay of the energy. So Venus being what we magnetize and also our creative signature, and this is both individually, but also how we're relating with sort of what I call the collective creative field. right now is really infused with Capricorn energy. So Capricorn being about our foundations, mm-hmm. our structures, taking inventory for everything in our lives and what is useful, what is not useful. There's quite a bit of discernment that comes in with Capricorn. Mm-hmm. There's also, if we think about structure and Capricorn ruling the skeleton, this is usually a big time in our creative journeys to be thinking about the skeleton of what we're creating and filling it in later.
Yes.
So even thinking about it that way, it kind of takes, you know, the pressure off of like, oh, I don't know this piece. Well, that's okay, because that piece comes later. Like right now, this is the piece that we're working on. So the structure, there's also a lot of influence of reconnecting with our ancestors. This has been really huge and really amplified, like where Venus is traveling in her cycle. She tends to amplify and magnetize more of that. So I know a lot of people have been tuning in more with their ancestors, with their lineage, reclaiming their gifts, lost traditions, ancient cultures, ancient history, all of these things, what's buried in the earth, because Capricorn's an earth sign. So it's really cool. Our wise elders reconnecting with maybe even, of course, the wise elders in our community, but our inner elder. You know, we talk a lot about the inner child, but what about the inner elder? Like that future version of self, even though it's quantum and it's always changing. I mean, she's in there. So there's a lot here. And it will really influence what we're going to create and co-create.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Nora, thank you. I love that you put all that on the table. I work a lot with the elder wise woman archetype in my work with my clients, and that sense of like the inner child and the elder, right? Those are two, they're not necessarily something that we think of as influenced by our stars, but are actually archetypes within. That's mm-hmm. very powerful. Thank you for adding that piece.
Yeah.
I'm curious with when you were saying with Venus in terms of creativity, how does that play out in relationship to the structure of Capricorn?
So we want to more or less align with how the current energy is resonating. So if what will best serve us is more or less looking at our structures. So we could give an example of like, okay, in your business, if you have a business, what are the systems and what's your customer journey, right? Like that would be a very practical example. In our family, like what's our schedule like? What are we making time and space for? What are our priorities? What are our boundaries? Like all of this stuff, it kind of becomes up. It's like up in the air. So even just knowing that too can kind of give us a little bit of compassion. Like, wow, why is this all I'm talking about right now? Well, that's what will help us magnetize. And I think especially for women, and of course, everybody has experience with Venus. Everybody has Venus in their chart, but especially for women and those on the path of reconnecting with the divine feminine and who are really on that journey to amplify that in their work, Venus takes on a very heightened influence because that's the tools that we have to work with right now. So we want to know what our tools are and make the most of them.
Yes. Yes. That's beautiful. So it's like knowing what's in our toolbox.
Exactly.
And then also having some say about what's in the toolbox. I love the image that you had of the skeleton, like actually being conscious about probably, you know, naming the skeleton, but also having say in what the skeleton is. What is the structure that we're structuring our lives with? Because that's holding exactly. it together.
Yeah. And for the anatomy nerds out there, of which I am one, like there are different types of proteins that are building up skeleton or building up bone and deconstructing it. So there's also this building and deconstructing energy with Capricorn. Like you build a scaffold around something and you see like, is this working? Is this really what I want to create? And then sometimes you have to deconstruct it a little bit mm-hmm. and fill in, you know, what is really of the most long-term sustainable use. That's what Capricorn is most concerned with.
Mm-hmm. And what happens when that's put in the in right here with the equinox energy, which to me also feels like a re-identifying and a shifting energy. What's happening with those? They feel a little contradictory and
they are. They're actually, yeah. So Aries, which is really holding the spring equinox energy, is square to Capricorn by sign. So they are actually in perfect creative tension odds. So Capricorn is the structure, the safety, what's practical, right? Like I would never say what we should do, but you know, if we want to create something long lasting, Capricorn saying, okay, you want to have follow through, you want to be committed to something and know what you're dedicated to in this devotional energy, which is very Capricorn. And then Aries fire over here is saying, I just want to do what I want in this moment. I just want to let this energy just flow through me. I want to be spontaneous. I want to tune in with my instincts and what I want today. And the instincts I follow right now might be very different than what I'm feeling next week. And that sometimes feels very antithetical to this long-term vision. Yes. So we are kind of holding both of those right now. We're holding like,
okay. Anyone listening to this is going like, yes, yes, that's me. I would say I fall in there too, like incredible creative energy and drive. And then also trying to figure out how it works on the skeleton and those bursts of creative energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I feel like there is a way, like when we, so squares, this, the energy of a square in astrology is actually about creative tension. It creates enough tension between these two different parts of yourself or different aspects of life, whether that's like, oh, me as the individual Aries and Capricorn as the system or the structure, what's the tension there? But that's where I have to get creative. And this is usually where we're able to initiate something. And this is why it does ask us to step into a new version of self, because it's not really about what we're doing, it's about who we're being, and that will inform our strategy and inform how we do everything. So there's an invitation, I think, especially at the equinox, to reconnect with what makes you feel most alive, what is most juicy, what wakes you up in the morning. Why do you want to do anything? Why do you want to build a skeleton of anything? Because if you don't have that, then that's when you can kind of get into maybe the shadow of Capricorn, which is like, oh, I have to just do this thing that I committed to that I'm just not really inspired by anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we want to be able to hold both and synthesize both. And there is a way, but it's usually that's the life journey. That's the fun part, is where we get to figure that out or live into that.
You're talking about something right now that feels like this, this, like on one hand, there would be like fate, and the other hand, you know, fate, destiny, and free will. How do you play with that or map that out? How does that make sense to you within using astrology? Because to me, it feels like astrology is saying this is the way things are. If you really learn about it, then you can tell a lot of information from it. What I hear you saying is something a little different than that.
Yeah. So I love this question. I think it's the ultimate question you have to be willing to engage with if you play with astrology. So I do view that there is a structure, and it is not meant to be inherently limiting, but it's to support us to be here. Kind of like Saturn function, like we have to be rooted and grounded in what is, like what is actually around us. So if we look at our charts, like who are we? What are the very practical, specific tools that I've been given? What is my genetic makeup? Who is my family? Like all these very practical things of our lives that we can't really change those things. We can change who we are in relation to those things, but we can't change those things themselves. And I find that any kind of change work, which is, I'm very passionate about that, from the space of empowerment, it begins with acceptance. It begins with accepting what is. So that's how I view the astrology with it too. It's like, I'm accepting that this is the cycle that we're in. I mean, if we kind of zoom out into some bigger cycles, we're in a very huge transitional cycle right now. And these coming years, we're going to see a lot of changes. So it's like, we have to accept that that's what it is. Like there is this change coming, but where we have the free will and the influence is how we, of course, decide to relate with that and how we want to use it, because we're not these victims to like, there's this thing happening. And we're just, you know, having to go along with it. It's like we have agency. And I do feel like we can learn the astrology, or at least what it is that makes sense for us to kind of plan and strategize for that and just accept like, this is what the cycle is. This will be most beneficial for me to focus on in this cycle. And then also I find that knowing it always changes too, or it always shifts, or it always moves, is usually really comforting for a lot of people, because they're like, whoa, I'm in this part right now. That's really hard. The number one thought is like, it's going to be like this forever, but it's not. So that I find is usually really helpful as well. And I think as humans, I don't remember who said this, like the six basic needs of humans, maybe it was Tony Robbins, but something along the lines was one of the basic needs was certainty. And another of the basic needs was uncertainty.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it feels like, yeah, we can have both.
Training model. Yeah, the certainty and uncertainty and the sense of, well, and some of us need both of those.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think we do. We need both. And so where we can kind of use the astrology as one of the certain, we can be certain that this is where the sun is right now. And that's where it will be next month. And this is how, you know, if we look at observation and correlation of the past, this is how this cycle has played out before, because that's essentially what we're doing. We're looking at how older cycles, how it's affected people, and just, you know, like scientists, observe and correlate what are the connections and what came up for people. And so we can kind of expect that to happen again in a similar but different way.
As you're speaking, I'm thinking of it almost like, you know, we here on the islands, we have like the windy season, and then we have like the Kona winds come through it. It's like during the windy season, that's not really the time to like plant your garden because it's going to blow away. And it's not the time to, at least I love to swim, but it's not the time, you know, the waves are really, really big. And so I'm thinking about it almost a little like seasons like that. Does that feel accurate? And that we're influenced by, and we make choices within it. It's a framework that we can have a relationship to that yes. isn't necessarily doing something to us.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's a framework, and it's a map. And I think so many have said, you know, the map is not the territory, right? It's just the representation of it. So we're the ones, you know, these us brave souls, we're the ones living it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, you were talking about the bigger arc of where we are. And I'm going to ask you to talk about that in a minute, but just before going there, I'm curious, in this place where we have agency of how we relate to what's happening, do you feel that as we up-level our consciousness, which is something I'm really interested in, as we grow our consciousness, and we may use different words around that, like you might have a different context for that than I do, but we're using the different words for it, but we're using the same idea. As we're growing our consciousness and sort of shifting in terms of how much we get to change, do we actually perhaps make some adjustment to what's happening in the bigger arc? Like, is that possible?
Absolutely. Yeah. I love this. I love this question. I love where you're at, because you're
going.
Yeah, because it's one of my mentors, Kaylin Castell, she always says this, you know, we inform the mysteries as much as the mysteries inform us. So with these huge evolutionary shifts that we very much influence it. So even thinking about cycles that maybe happened 100 years ago, 200 years ago, as beings who are now up leveling in our consciousness and choosing that on purpose, because I wasn't there 200 years ago, maybe I was just in a different body, but I mean, I feel like the conversation has shifted, you know, more and more people are talking about this.
It's a different conversation than 200 years ago or 100 years ago or 50 years ago.
Yeah. So we can connect with these similar cycles, but we're different people now. We're different beings and we're more open. And I've become very, very passionate in my own journey of becoming as clear a channel as I possibly can be, in that, you know, being really healthy and being really impeccable with my space and my boundaries and what I'm choosing to give my attention to, so that I can be as, I guess, pure or on purpose with how I'm growing. And that's been a journey. I mean, I've definitely lived through a lot of disembodiment and kind of being detached and being really out of my body and just kind of from that place, just going with the flow of what's around me and not really feeling like I'm influencing it when I'm disembodied. So this is why I'm so passionate about becoming so embodied and on purpose. And from that space, I do have a much wider sphere of influence in my own life. And that I do feel has a ripple effect. And that's how we all change. And it's kind of like that, you know, the tipping point, you know, it only takes, what is it, like 3%, whatever this number is, a very small number of people to be like, you know, I'm going to be that you know, that lit match, and I'm going to light all the people around me and everything's going to be different. So especially considering this time of, you know, this alchemical cauldron we're in, where times of change typically do bring up a lot of fear for a lot of people. We could see a lot of fear in the collective, a lot of attachments to old ways of being and living and doing and deciding, but we can trust, like, we might not make the exact same mistakes that our ancestors made. For one, hopefully we've learned from them. And two, we're different now. Mm-hmm. So we can make much different choices. And so in that sense, I don't necessarily think history is always doomed to repeat itself, because we're choosing differently now.
Wow, we're more embodied. The circular stairwell.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm. And this bigger arc of energetic shifting that you're talking about, what might we call that? Are we using terms for it yet?
I mean, some people might call it the age of Aquarius. I mean, that's definitely one label. And there's, of course, so many arguments of, like, are we already in it? Are we not in it yet? But I think without question, we're in the transition zone, especially when Pluto's in Aquarius from, you know, up until 2044. Mm-hmm. That's a very long time of, you know, deep evolution in our communities, and really thinking of the future, because Aquarius is that future and progressive oriented, you know, humanitarian oriented way of thinking. So we have a lot of that, I would say, communal system shifting, because what Aquarius does is very Promethean, it's Uranian. How can we create systems that are supportive for the whole, that really allow us to live up to our highest potential, rather than just like, oh, I have to go through these motions of life that is not fulfilling. And I think there's something around just connecting with that inner divinity. Mm. That feels like a huge collective shift right now. And I think it's been ongoing. I mean, some of the people that I've learned from, you know, from like the 60s and beyond, I mean, there have always been these people, but these numbers are just so much, they're amplified. And it's like, we can be having these conversations without fear of persecution.
Yes. You know? Yes. Mm. Yeah. You're touching a piece that is really, hot for me in my work, and I call it the witch wound, which is, you know, wasn't that long ago where it wouldn't have been safe to have these conversations that are really right on the edge of, you know, you use the term in your bio of being practical magic, and this place of where ordinary women, or seemingly ordinary women like yourself and myself have stewed ourselves in, you know, learning about the mysteries and curiosity about how it is that we're wired and how to grow our consciousness. And I know that there's a lot of people listening in right now that are saying, and me too, right? And we're also at this time, and I just got goosebumps. We're at a time, and I don't know where it falls astrologically, but I will say, like, I would think evolutionarily, where it's actually the most safe it's been for women in a really, really long time. There's probably time, you know, in the BC when we would have been honored and we would have just been part of the tribe, giving the information we would have seen as wise women. But there was a long period where we were seen as dangerous. And now we're coming back into having voice that is safe. And I feel like that's part of what you're touching there right now. It's like, we're actually at an arc in our evolution, and then we're at a time in astrologically where it's really welcoming and holding space for that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's everything. That's it. I'm so passionate about the sacred union between the divine feminine and the divine masculine. And it does feel, it's like, as the divine feminine is reclaimed, it's like, she never went anywhere, but she did go inside, and there was, you know, hiding and wounds around hiding. And I feel like right now what the work is coming back out again and shining again and really feeling safe in that shining. I've been really tuning into, you know, the word sovereignty, and I really view sovereignty as safety. It's like, I'm safe to show up in this way, in this space right now. And it's also okay if people don't like me. That's also okay. And everybody, you know, is going to have their own response to what I'm sharing, but that's 100% their right. And so it feels like we're just making space, like space. And it also feels like this ability to relax a little bit. Like it feels, I've seen so many people talking about, you know, nervous system regulation and just like all of the patterns of holding and like withholding and like contracting. And it does feel like as we create more space to be ourselves, we can kind of relax into our space a little bit more and trust ourselves. I think it also with the divine feminine reemergence is connecting with different ways of knowing. Like, you know, being psychic, like, I didn't do research to get this answer. I know this answer because I am a filter for truth. So truth can just, I can just know truth. I don't have to be able to prove it to myself or anybody. I just feel that. And that to me feels like a very feminine way of knowing that all of us, we all get to claim that. We all get to reclaim that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I like to name too, that it's like, that there's something really generous and, welcoming of thinking like this is something that we all have. We all have these abilities or many of them, just the sense of, you know, being empathic or being able to know things, especially when we're more deeply connected to what's around us. I mean, in my experience, when I'm more connected to the sky and the earth and the trees and the rhythms of the planet, I'm also more in tune and more capable of knowing things. Do you experience that too?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And there's something in the social push that creates a forgetting, the forgetting that comes with the busyness of lives and the have to's and the noise and all the technology. And there's a way that we can lose a little bit of that intunement.
Yeah, absolutely. I view it as like the great disembodiment or disconnection. It's like the disembodiment in ourselves comes from being disconnected to the earth and disconnected from our natural cycles. And right now it's like a renaissance of reconnection, a renaissance of remembering. So we are, you know, our desires are fully worthy of being expressed because they're divinely seeded. And when we know ourselves more, we can create from that, I think, that balance, that sacred union of, so that Venus in our chart really connects with the emergent divine feminine. And so that's why, you know, we can talk about Venus and she holds this space of what we're creating, but also our relationships. And then Mars is that divine masculine. So it's how we're taking action on things, what we are, like the energy that we're exerting out into the world. So it's like the doing and the taking action, whereas the Venus is the being and the receiving. That we need both. We need both to create anything. And so it's like understanding where they are in our charts, understanding where they are in the sky right now. How are they talking to each other? What's their relationship like? Are they gelling? Are they fighting right now? Are they resolving something? And it's like everything in, you know, hermetic principles too, as above, so below, as within, so without. It's like, what's happening in the sky? That's going to be something that we're engaging with within ourselves and within our own creative journey. So I find that to be the most useful way of really understanding astrology is like, what are these conversations that are being invited to be had? And then how is that going to manifest through, you know, my conversation with you, my conversation with my partner, with my family, with the people that I'm here to serve.
And I mean, you just brought it into the relational piece, which was something I was wanting to ask you about, is how, especially since we've just framed it out that our signs and influences, like we have agency within that, and it's a structure that we're in, but we then have choice about how we respond. What happens when we put two people together, obviously with different, we'll just say with different signs, do you believe that there are, that like we should be matched with somebody with a particular sign that's in alignment with ours? Or how do we then, not to turn this into a matchmaking course, but I'm curious about, because so often it's like, oh, you know, your sister is this sign, so that's why you don't get along, or your mother is this and that became this, or your lover is this and that's why this. How do you stand in that place when people are navigating that territory?
Yeah, so I think that we can find a lot in our charts around our essential relationship needs. And so basically, this is not the thing that most people are talking about. A lot of times I hear people, you know, using sun signs to discuss compatibility. But that's just one part.
Right. That's what I hear a lot and see a lot of the, you know, if you look at the literature, it's like,
yeah, Yeah, exactly. And it's, if we wanted to really use the chart to understand compatibility, we would want to know where Venus is, because that's our receptive energy. That's like that one side of the polarity. We want to know where Mars is. That's the active side of the polarity. And what tends to happen, I mean, I won't go too deep into this, but so say if you're a woman or you identify with the yin energy as your identity, you tend to attract the yang, you tend to attract the Mars, or project your natal Mars onto somebody else. So that'll be what you really want to pull in, and you embody one of them, and then vice versa. So we tend to embody one more than the other, depending on where we sit within ourselves. And usually that's where the compatibility stuff comes in, because the people that we will be attracted to are going to help us play out that relationship of Mars, Venus. And then there's the rest of the chart too. So it gets complex and very nuanced, but it's, I find that the benefit of using astrology is to understand that for ourselves. So what are the archetypes that I'm likely to project onto other people, and or want them to call, to bring them into my life? Is it possible that maybe I can be both of those things and then still have relationship without that, you know, codependency, or, you know, needing somebody else to represent something for me? Because maybe I'm capable of representing that for myself. So it's all having this conversation of understanding our needs. And then I know there are so many funny memes out there. It's like, you know, your girl is only interested in you if she asks you your birth time, you know, she wants to make your chart. It's like checking in on, you know, where's the Mars and Venus, or, you know, all these other parts. Yeah.
That's great. And I think within that context, we have, also that piece that you touched on earlier, that if we know what's influencing us, or we know where we might have weakness or strength, we can also, like, we have the agency, the free will to shift and change and grow, such that we can be choosing somebody then who might, we might have a different kind of relationship with. And I've heard you say something along the lines of, like, relationships are, one of the best places for growing or shifting within our astrology. Can you play with that a little? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I view mastering relationships as like the PhD of being a human. I think that's what we're here for, all of us. We all have our, you know, nuanced expressions of that and where it's going to come through. But I mean, everything is relationship. And if we can understand that, you know, that primal relationship within ourselves of these, you know, these poles of the masculine, feminine, then, well, we can do the healing, we can do the work on ourselves from, you know, that loving self-awareness space. And I think it gives us also a great appreciation for just how different every other is too. Like, so I'm sure a lot of everybody watching can relate with this, but, you know, thinking back to your earlier relationships, even if you, you know, say dated a lot of people and you're like, wow, they're all different, but there's something that's the same that's coming up for me in all of these different relationships. So that's how I know it's mine. That's how I know it's my thing that I'm healing, clearing, evolving. I'm evolving that thing. So I feel like it makes us more responsible with our own energy and our, you know, our creative journey, because when we understand that about ourselves and how we relate, that is going to influence how we show up in our careers, how we show up in our families, in just in how we connect with ourselves, and then also how we connect with the divine and with life itself. It feels like it creates more space for the wholeness rather than feeling like maybe that we're incomplete in some way. It's like we already have it all within us, but we require these other people around us to kind of show us. I view it, it's like we all have the puzzle piece, but we have to be kind of responsible for our own puzzle piece too. And that puzzle piece evolves as we, you know, learn and grow. So it's really fascinating. You can go in a lot of directions with this. Regarding compatibility as a general topic, I think everybody's compatible with everybody. I know that's kind of, you know, an answer that people would be like, no, that I don't think so. But, you know, it's like love language. You know, we can all learn a different love language.
And we can all learn to be compatible.
Yeah. And I mean, it just comes down to choice. Like maybe if you're choosing something that's very difficult over and over again, like asking why, like, what is it that I'm trying to heal and or grow and evolve through choosing these difficult relationships? What am I showing about myself? Do I need to keep doing that? Is it serving me, or is there a more easeful, graceful way? Sometimes I think some of us incarnate with a mission, like they really came to do a lot of deep ancestral healing and clearing. And it's almost like we need those other relationships to show us what we can't see about ourselves up to a certain point. And they're like, okay, I can make a new choice now. Thank you for being an amazing teacher. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think it all just depends, but yeah, ultimately we can become, you know, compatible with everybody. I mean, but that's, you know, that's the heaven expression. That's the utopia. We never stop shooting for it.
Does that also mean that if you really, really do your work, that you yourself might not exhibit any particular astrological pulls?
That's actually the goal of so many who really take astrology as like a spiritual journey, is inevitably to transcend it. To completely transcend the chart, to completely transcend the attachments to like a certain, you know, projection or personality or archetype, but to be able to kind of another way to say that is getting off the wheel of karma, because the chart is showing us our karma, but it's essentially just our thoughts, our mind, the choices that we just keep making. And did we learn from that last time that we made that choice? So I do feel like that's the end goal. And we might find there are certain areas of our life where we are able to kind of transcend that. And we're still working on it over here, but like, at least in this place, I'm, you know, feeling that freedom. And that tends to be a little bit of a different experience for everybody, but yeah, totally possible to get off that wheel.
I love how you're describing that right now, Nora. And I hadn't actually thought of the wheel of, you know, karma as actually being connected to astrology as in something that we might be transcending. And underneath that, for, you know, those of us in sort of day-to-day life, like just knowing, it gives us another map for knowing where it is that we have strengths, where we have weaknesses, where we can grow, where we have pulls or non-pulls. It's almost like could be used as a teaching model for personal growth. Is that what I'm hearing?
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I feel that we will get continually pulled into things because there's something there for us. It's like a magnet. I think we're a magnet to healing, and we'll resist that or we'll jump in full force. And I think this is where having the tools like, you know, emotional processing or, you know, trauma work, or like all of that, to be able to love what is, to be able to unshame the past pattern, all of this is where I think astrology can be an absolute beautiful doorway into, like, this is where the specific healing can happen. And this is also where this pattern came from. There's a really a beautiful way of using like intergenerational charts. Like I'll look at, you know, charts of parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles, and it's uncanny. You will see so many very particular patterns playing out amongst families and, you know, groups of people who chose to incarnate together. And it might not be the same sign, but maybe it'll be the same aspect. Like everybody in this family has Mars square Venus. That's tough. You know, the squares, which are those creative tensions, and everybody's got a different opinion, but what is it that they came to learn together? So there's usually a lot of this kind of overcoming the patterns, or starts with recognizing the pattern and then seeing, well, how can I choose to do this in a different way? I know for myself, I noticed a theme with all of the women in my family. We all inherited as our sun sign, the Mars sign of our mother. So I'll just give an example. So my grandma's, she was a sun in Aries, her Mars is in Taurus. And so my mom, she was born as a Taurus sun, her Mars was in Sagittarius. And then me, I'm a Sagittarius sun with my Mars in Aries. I have an Aries sun sign daughter. I was like, whoa, okay. So we are all passing down our Mars sign to our daughter. Yes. What is that about? What are we doing with this? Like, so to me, it almost seemed like we, at least in my example, we have been really learning to confront anger, repressed anger, because Mars does tend to have that representation of the repressed anger. Also physical things in our bodies, like a lot of us have had similar physical things, and Mars does have a lot to do with the body and how we use our energy. So all of a sudden I was like, wow, I have the line of what I can do some generational healing around, and just from looking at the charts.
Wow, that's really striking. And I love the way that this is sort of unhooking and shifting the way that we can actually be using, looking at our charts, looking at what influences are pulling us in the same way that, you know, we might be influenced by a parent who works too much, or by, you know, someone who's depressed, right? We have those influences coming in on this physical plane, which often are what people talk about or complain about or have wounding around. And then we can look at the layer behind that, which may be that there's something influencing them or influencing us. Neuro, in the beginning, when you and I first met to talk, I asked you a question, and it really, like, part of really opened my heart for talking with you. And I was like, oh, wow. And I had asked you the question that is actually running the theme behind this whole interview series, which is called Wild and Awake, which in many ways is like, you know, how we're waking up, how we're allowing ourselves to become more at the essence of who we are, of which I think what you're talking about right now is in such alignment. And the sub theme for this series is, how do we live our best life right now? And I remembered at the time you said something along the lines of to know that we have choice in who we are being in our evolution. And I know that this has been a big piece of what we've actually talked about today, sort of as the under theme, but I'm wondering if there's anything more you'd like to say about that. Mm. How do we live our best life right now?
Yeah, right now. I think if we zoom it out to the overall patterns that are shifting and then find ourselves right here, you'll notice that everything is being redistributed. So it's like, in nature, like, there's not technically anything new created. It's just repurposed. The energy just moves and it expresses in a different way. So the same thing with ourselves. We have been gifted our personal histories. We've been gifted our lineage, our ancestors. We've been gifted all these relational experiences. We've been gifted these memories and these bodies. So from this moment, almost repurposing that, another way might be restoring, like looking at it all from a new lens, because you can do that at any time. At any time, you can choose to restory. And there could be, you know, a certain story that's playing out, like, oh, this is what this means about me. This thing that happened, this is who I am. But what if it isn't? What if you're something else completely? And you've grown and you've healed and you've changed and you've reconnected with something more primordial, right? So that's that choice. It's like you can repurpose all of that material and make something new with it. And that's actually what I think it is to be a creator. It's like, we're not necessarily the ones creating the raw material, but we are forming it and we're shaping it and we're playing with it. And it feels that right now we're being gifted an opportunity to just go a different direction if that's what we want.
Yeah, just pausing with that. And for those people who are listening, that piece around permission, right?
Yeah, that's permission. What it is. Mm-hmm. Can we give ourselves the permission to be a new version of ourselves today?
Today, yeah. Tomorrow, and the next day, right? This is where creativity, the creating, actually gets to play out.
Yep, it's all in the present moment. And I think this is where we also get to do the deconstructing of older identities. And it's not like we're throwing them away and we're not saying that they're not worthy or, you know, we don't value them, but we're just looking at them differently. And we're saying, oh, you, in the past, I used this energy, for example, in my personal relationships. Maybe that's an energy I can repurpose and I can move it over here into my career space. Like, a lot of times it's just shuffling things around and it can be really simple. And the best solutions often are that simple. It's like, for me, for example, I remember, so I have Venus, my Venus is in Scorpio, and I can be really intense. And it's like, when I'm with somebody, I'm like, I'm with you. Nothing else exists. You know, we're here in this moment. It can be really intense. So I used to use that energy only in my personal relationships, to the point where, like, my boyfriends are like, I don't really need you to be my psychiatrist, my therapist. Like, can you just, I just want to hang out, you know? And so for me, I'm like, I have this though. And I used to allow that part of me to get shamed or like put down into the shadow bag because it wasn't being received where I was giving it. So I had to use to repurpose that energy and put it somewhere else. Like this energy, this ability to be intense is so valuable in my work. It is so valuable working with women who want to go deep into these spaces. It's a very valuable energy, and this is where it really works. So I just had to learn to repurpose it. And it healed so many layers of shame as well, of thinking like, oh, I'm too much or too intense or whatever the story is. So that's just my example. And I feel like I'm always finding more little things like that. Like, oh, this, Nick, I'm a parent. My daughter is 6 years old, and there's a very different version of myself that has to come out when I'm with her, because I'm teaching her boundaries, and I have to be Saturn a lot of times with her. But I'm noticing as she gets older, certain ways that I had to be Saturn, I'm like, oh, I can actually release that. I can relax that. But that energy is still present. So I can use it somewhere else. Oh, now I can use that energy to structure something, or, you know, to apply it in my business. So I think a lot of this is also about recycling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not actually, the transformation isn't necessarily becoming something totally different. It could be taking some aspect and shifting it someplace else where it goes from being a challenge to being a gift.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And that to me feels like, it's like you're putting on a new outfit. Mm-hmm. And you're showing up at a different time. Like even those very simple tweaks of the details can totally change your experience.
I notice the young culture, your daughter's a little young for this, but the teens through the 20s right now, that the incredible fluidity of identity. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful thing to witness. And I think it's also can be really hard in the maybe adult realm, looking at the older people, looking at the younger people who are shifting so like their ability actually from day to day to be different. Do you have anything that you see in that as well? Like, do you see a connection to sort of an awareness? Like, are they owning something that we could all learn from? I wonder. I mean, that seems practical to me.
Yeah, it does. And I think where like the older generations and the younger generations can really learn together and kind of make this whole collective synthesis and up-leveling is like the freedom and the fluidity of the youth combined with the self-awareness and the sovereign choice to be able to take that somewhere. Because when you get that together, now we've got some real creative power. Versus like, oh, I'm just changing all the time. I don't know what I'm doing with my energy versus like, I'm never changing, but I know myself, you know? So we can bring it together. And I've really noticed too, especially while kind of circling back to the Venus cycle that we're in, the Capricorn cycle, which is that sort of connecting all the different generations and getting them to talk to each other, not just like everybody only talks to their peers who are the same age, but talking to the older and the younger. And it's almost like this cross-generational cross-pollination kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And seeing like that's really where the magic is. That's the sweet spot, because that's that combination of the wisdom with the you know, the natural instinct and motivation and passion.
Niran, in hearing you, and I'm just like putting the welcome out to all of our listeners, that taking what we're talking about today and making the pieces of this that resonate with you into your daily life. There are so many beautiful little gems that you've laid out for us, Nora, about how we can shift and how we can build our, and change ourselves and repurpose and grow community. Is there, we're going to wrap up in just a moment. And I'm wondering, is there anything else that feels important knowing that we're holding the space right now, and wondering if there's anything that feels important that we haven't said?
I think just the reminder to keep it simple, and that you're sovereign, simple and sovereign, and let everything come from there.
And when you say sovereign, what does that mean to you?
That you are the leader of your own life. You are a co-creator, and everything that you want to bring forth is so needed and is so desired. And you're totally safe to share that. You're totally safe to create.
Thank you so much. Those are beautiful words. I think that's what people need to hear right now. That that energy. So just sitting with this for a second, just letting everybody absorb. Thank you, Nora. This has been a beautiful time with you. If people are wanting to get hold of you, what's the best way to reach you?
My website at NoraRochelle.com is the best place to reach out. And I also have an Instagram, it's at Nora Rochelle, and then a YouTube channel that's Nora Rochelle Astrology. So trying to keep it simple in that way. It's just my name.
NuraRachelle.
Beautiful. Yes, thank you.
And you're giving a wonderful gift today, which has so much connection to what we've actually been talking about. Would you tell us just a little bit about this gift?
Sure. Yeah. So it's using the Venus cycle to reconnect with your creative power.
Perfect. That sends us into this spring season in a real place where we're resourced and have a place to stand solid. I like that idea of the skeleton and then building on the skeleton.
Yes.
Thank you. Nora, thank you for being here. And all of our audience, thank you for coming with your open minds and your curiosity and your willingness to expand and ask different questions. I encourage you to take what you can from today's conversation. Some of it may have stretched your sense of reality. Some of it may have shifted the way you see things. And that's the goal here on Wild and Awake, to allow ourselves to change and shift and grow. So thank you all for being here with us. Aloha. Yes.
Thank you. Bye.